Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Open your Bibles up to John chapter 11, and if you need one of these teachings, these sheets, if you'll raise your hand, they'll bring you one. Just keep your hand up and they'll bring you one. I'm good. Thank you. Sometimes I like the podium down on the down there, but it's already here, and Michael and I may crash if we tried to move it right now. So anyway, it is really a blessing to get to be here tonight to study God's Word. Wow, this is our 22nd character that we've looked at in Scripture. We've got one more after tonight, because then on Easter Sunday, we won't meet, and then we'll start something new right after that, and we'll go into a new series. But this has been a blessing, and I want you to know that before church tonight, Coley Prevett brought me his sheet already filled out. All of them, he knows every one of them. And so he has issued a challenge. Not really. He didn't issue it. I'm issuing it. I just want to know if you can fill those blanks in and get them right. Now, I've kept them the same for many weeks now. I say many, probably three or four. And you can learn those qualities. Folks, listen, it's what we retain that we really learn. Now, we know the Lord brings to our remembrance the things we've learned, and that's important, but I want us to really focus. Let's don't take the time and make the effort to be here on Sunday night and to go through these Bible studies and not at least take something home with us that we can remember and that we can look back and we think of that person in the Bible and we know their life message that is a challenge to us. Also, while we're thinking about those things, I also want to draw your attention to these little cards that are on the back table back there. These are connecting our community to Christ and His church events that are coming up. We call them C4 events. It begins with Easter on the 20th, and then we have 316 the musical on the 27th. That's going to be really special. So if you have someone, I was talking to a guest this morning, and they were asking about our music ministry, and I told them all about it, Michael, and I said that we were going to be doing that musical, and they just lit up. They said, wow, I'll be here. They're going to be visiting us and coming for a number of weeks. But the idea of this is that we may have some folks that will come on Easter, and we want to give them a reason to come back. Now, every Sunday is an exciting day. I know you know that, and I know it's exciting to me. This morning when I was telling you about that new series on to give an offense, be ready to give a defense or to give an answer, I was thinking we needed some defense last night in that ball game. But I didn't say that then, okay? But, man, that was on my mind, and I just kind of ignored the whole thing. But anyway, I was bummed out. But anyway, these are the events coming up, and the idea is someone may come on Easter. We want to give them some reasons to come back. So we're going to have a musical. We're going to have a breakfast in our Sunday school classes. We're going to have a special time on Mother's Day, which is going to be great. I'm excited about the message that I'm going to be sharing that day on Mother's Day. It's that passage in where they brought two ladies brought one baby to Solomon. And they said to Solomon, that's my baby. And the other mother said, that's my baby. And you solved the riddle. And so Solomon had to deal with that issue. And so anyway, it's going to be, that's what we're going to talk about on Mother's Day. And then Orange Bucket Sunday is the 18th. And then our annual beach baptism at Crescent Beach. If you know someone who needs to be baptized, this is a great, great time. And we had 100 people go to the beach with us last time for that. All right, let's take a look at John chapter 11, and let's look at verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." That doesn't communicate that may have been a sarcastic statement by Thomas. In other words, they were saying, "They're going to kill you, Lord." And the Lord said, "We're going anyway." And Thomas said, "All right, let's all go. We'll just die together." That's what he was basically saying. Verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whether you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Look at verse 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to the Lord, "By this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The country preacher said that if Jesus had not said Lazarus, every dead man in the grave would have come out of the grave. That's how powerful his words were. So what do we learn from Lazarus? Number one, Lazarus' death had a purpose. We see in the scripture in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." I want you to think about in these next blanks there in number 1, what are the ways the Lord could have received glory and did receive glory. First of all, these would glorify Christ. All right, first of all, the miracle. Just the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead would have glorified Christ. People would have said, "Wow, did you see what Jesus did?" So the miracle glorified the Lord. The second blank there is Lazarus. In other words, Lazarus himself, look at verse 10. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because I'm in chapter 11. Look at chapter 12, verse 10. I'm sorry. Chapter 12, verse 10 says this. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. So Lazarus was glorifying Christ. Even in Lazarus's death, Jesus was going to receive glory, because out of that resurrection, the miracle itself gave glory to the Lord, but also Lazarus gave glory to the Lord. All right? Who else would glorify Christ? All right, go back to chapter 11 and look at verses 14 and 15. In chapter 11, verse 14 says this, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Well, who, when he says your sakes, he's talking about the disciples. So the blank there is the disciples. So here are three different groups right here, or three individuals that are going to glorify Christ as a result of this miracle. First of all, the miracle is going to glorify the Lord. Lazarus is going to glorify the Lord. The disciples are going to glorify the Lord. And then, how about Lazarus's friends? His friends would glorify the Lord. In verse 19, the scripture says, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then if you go to verse 42 in chapter 11, it says, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe you sent me. So here were just friends that were there that would have glorified the Lord as a result of what Jesus did. And then the last thing that I want you to think about, this happened the week prior to Palm Sunday, this event. As a matter of fact, this event is what caused the Pharisees to say, we've got to do something about this man, Jesus. That's really what happens in verse 47. Look at verse 47 of chapter 11. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered counsel and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. Do you know that because this was like the one of the straws that broke the camel's back, so to speak, because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the chief priest said, we've got to do away with him. And as a result of that, he was arrested and he went to the cross. So ultimately, I put down here the cross. That's the last blank, the cross. Because the cross glorifies Jesus Christ, and the cross, in kind of an indirect way, was a result of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. So you think of all those things that we see as the purpose. What was the purpose? That God would be glorified. Number two, we see a strange postponement. Number two, we see a strange postponement. I have learned as a pastor, and this is not always an easy thing. But when someone dies, I just go. I don't always know what to say. I don't have the words, and I've learned one thing, this is not the time to try to know what to say. But you just go. If someone dies, you just go. You go to the family, you go. One day at our home, I received a call. They said, my mother has just died. I told Kelly, I'll be back after a while. I just got in the car and I just went. And you just learn that. But Jesus didn't do that. It's kind of strange. It was a strange postponement. In verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. The Lord Of course, he knows all things. He knew all things, and he knew that Lazarus was going to die. And there was a reason that he wanted Lazarus to be dead when he got there, so that he could raise him from the dead and it would give him more glory. But you see that there, a strange postponement. We also learn something about death in verses 11 through 15. We learn Jesus teaches about sleep. Death to the believer is like going to sleep. Matter of fact, it talks about it in verse 11. Then these things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps." Now these disciples, I would have been right in the middle of it with them, and you would have too. They always asked questions. They always made wrong statements. They always jumped out ahead. But they were wondering about this, and they knew it was dangerous to go to that part of the country, because in verse 8, the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again?" They said, "Don't go over there." And he says, "Lazarus sleeps, but I go to wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. Don't wake him up." You ever gone see somebody in the hospital and they're sleeping? I've done that many times. You get in there and you want to pray with them and you want to encourage them and everything, but it's so hard sometimes to sleep in the hospital. Kelly's dad always says this: you go to the hospital to get treatment, you go home to get well. Because you can't sleep in a hospital. They're coming in and out of there, Malcolm. You're a crowd, man. You got to have more blood. You got to have, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So the point is, he said they're sleeping. They said, "Well, hey, he's going to be okay if he's sleeping." And Jesus had to describe it in verse 13. "However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep." Verse 14, "Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Hey guys, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.'" So we learn about sleep, though. Isn't that encouraging to know that death to the believer is not the end? Of course, it's not the end to any human being. We have a soul that lives for eternity, and that soul either spends eternity in the presence of God or it spends eternity separated from God. And I know I've told you this before, but I'll never forget hearing a message. Leonid Brezhnev, man of God, you know, the Soviet ruler, an atheist. And I heard the title of that message, and I've just never gotten over that yet. And I thought, why would he say that? The man did not believe in God. He was an atheist. And the basic message of that, the power of that message was this: oh, yes, he will believe in Jesus. It's just a matter of, did he believe in Jesus on this side of death or on that side of death? Because the Bible says every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you mark it down. Every wicked leader, every murderer, every person who shook their fist in the face of God will bend their knee and bow their life to Jesus Christ as Lord. So this man preached, Leonid Brezhnev, man of God. But the truth is, to the believer, it's like sleep. Donald Gray Barnhouse was the pastor at the Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, great man of God, wrote commentaries on the book of Romans that are classics. And he's actually the one who came up originally with the two evangelism questions that many of you have memorized and many of you maybe have learned. The first one is this: have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain if you died, you go to heaven? Those were not D. James Kennedy's questions. He gives credit to Donald Gray Barnhouse for those questions. And then the second one is this: suppose you were to die tonight and stand before God, and you stood before God, and God was to say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you say to God? Barnhouse wrote that. Well, Barnhouse lost his wife early in her life and in their marriage. And he had little girls, and they were riding to the grave. They were riding to the grave after the service at the church, and a vehicle went by, a carriage went by on one side, and a shadow from that cast upon the girls in their, as they were making their way to the grave. And Barnhouse said, "Did you see that, girls?" And they said, "Yes, Daddy, we did." And they said, he said, "What was that that just went by?" "A shadow. Daddy, it was a shadow." And Barnhouse said to his girls, he said, "That's the way death is to mama, and death is to a believer in Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And Barnhouse said to his girls, he said, "You see, the truck didn't hit us. The carriage didn't hit us. Just the shadow did. The truck hit Jesus, and only the shadow hits us." You see, death to the believer, even though there's a lot of mystery about it, even though there's a lot of unknown about it, what does the Bible say? His grace is sufficient for thee. I don't have dying grace right now. At least, I guess if I was about to die, I'd have dying grace. You know, you wonder, what's it going to be like one day to when it's time to go into eternity? If it's not your time, you don't have the grace to die right now. And it may seem unknown. You don't know. There's a lot of mystery about what death is like. I'll never forget David Garland, my Hebrew professor at Southwestern Seminary, told me a story I have never forgotten. He said he was a pastor. He was eating Thanksgiving dinner, and he got a call. He was a pastor, and he was eating Thanksgiving dinner, and they said, "Pastor, one of your deacons is at the very last moment." This had been a man who was a faithful man in the church, who had gotten sick, and he was dying. And they said, "Can you come, Pastor? All the family's here. Can you come and pray with us?" And so he excused himself from Thanksgiving dinner, and he said he went over to the home of this family. And he said when he opened the door, everybody was gathered around this deacon from his church. And this man was lying in the bed which was to be the last day of his life. And so Dr. Garland said that, "I walked in, and when I walked in, they made me a place at the foot of this man's bed." And he said that I stood at the foot of this man's bed, and I just looked into the eyes of this man who had been faithful in our church, who loved Christ and loved his work. And he said that the man was lying there, his eyes were open, he was looking around the room, and he said, Dr. Garland said, "I'd never forgotten this. We in the seminary class were all at the edge of our seats wondering what was he going to tell us." He said with all the energy the man had, he got up his strength and he looked at his pastor, and he winked. And Garland told all of us, and I've never forgotten it, he said, "That was that man's way of telling me, Pastor, I'm okay. I'm all right." Because let's face it, I'm feeling pretty good tonight. I don't think I have dying grace right now. So if you said to me, "Hey, today, you may go tomorrow," I kind of get a little anxious about it. But here's what I learned from David Garland. When the time comes, you can wink at death if you're in the hands of Jesus Christ. Jesus was giving us a little example here and telling us that it's sleep. It's like sleep. He teaches about sleep. Number four, we see the sorrow of the sisters and we see the sorrow of the Savior. The sorrow of the sisters is in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know that he will rise again on the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So you see the sorrow of the sisters, but also you see the sorrow of the Savior. You look down in verse 33. Of course, verse 35 is one of the favorite memory verses of all Christians. Tell your kids, your grandkids, hey, I got a $5 bill for the first verse of Scripture you memorize, and I guarantee it won't be long before they'll come to John 11:35, okay? But anyway, verse 33, therefore when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. There's just comfort in knowing that our Savior could mourn and could weep and his heart could hurt. You know, the Scripture says that Jesus was like us in many ways. He was all God, but he was also all man. And so Jesus experienced the same things about life that we experience. And so we see that he mourned. He showed sorrow just like the sisters did. Well, Jesus called for Lazarus to come forth. He says in verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Now, we don't get this from this passage, but we do know from this time in history that many believe that the spirit of a person just kind of hovered around a dead body for a couple of days. And then eventually it would go off so that there was no hope. And so some have speculated that perhaps Jesus wanted to make sure they knew Lazarus was dead because he was going to raise him up. He wanted to make sure there'd be no mistake about it, that Lazarus was dead. And so in verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. What is our task? I love this. You ready? Here's our task as believers. Number one, removing stones. He said, take away the stone. Now, the Lord could have, with his voice, with his word, just said, stone be moved. He had the power, but he used the human agency to prepare that. And you know what our job is? Moving stones away from dead people so that the gospel has a clear entryway. That's one of your jobs, is that you're a stone mover. You make the path smooth. You overcome barriers. Somebody says, oh, I don't want to become a Christian because I knew a Christian one time. They were a hypocrite. Well, then you don't be a hypocrite. You live your life for Christ and you love authentically so that the barrier, that stone that has a stumbling block to that person coming to Christ, has been moved. You be a stone mover. Make it your goal to be a stone mover so that someone out there who needs to know Jesus is real, who needs to know Jesus can raise them up, they can see that because you've moved the stone. So that's one of the things that we do. Now look at verse 44. He says, Lazarus come forth, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave cloths. They wrapped him He was like a mummy. They wrapped him in grave strips of cloth, and they had spices, and this was the way they would prepare a dead body for a burial. And his face was wrapped with a cloth, and Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen these things Jesus did believed in him. Here's the other job. First job is removing stones and unwrapping believers. You say, well, what do I do in the church? You know what you ought to do? You ought to unwrap. You ought to make it possible for those that have been raised to get loose and get free and live their life. And how do you do that? You do that through discipling and encouraging people. Unwrapping believers. New believers that have been raised. That's one of the things we're trying to do with these children. We want them to come to know Jesus, and then we want them to grow. Removing stones and then unwrapping them whenever they are resurrected. Jesus could have had him come forth without the clothes on, without the grave clothes on, but he didn't. He said to the people, "You remove the grave clothes." I think there's a lesson there for us. So in the life of Lazarus, we see God glorified through this tragedy. So here's our lesson for the bottom. Here's our big blank life lesson from the life of Lazarus. I think Lazarus would say this: your tragedy can lead to God's glory. Your tragedy can lead to God's glory. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.